Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, head on out and do your old stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said everybody, get on up and do your old stuff. You better get up.
Hey everybody, welcome to Congress College. My name is Elizabeth Christ, and thank you for tuning in to this 30-minute radio show where, if you guess it, we do our stuff. That was Perk Badger, by the way, Do Your Stuff. I love that song. But here on Congress College, we do our stuff when it comes to Congress, and we do it twice weekly. On Congress College, you will hear us talk about what literally the Senate and the House of Representatives are up to in Washington, D.C. On the Monday show, this is when I typically outline the week, and that means I will talk about what will actually be coming up in the Senate of the United States and in the House of Representatives. And then on the Friday show, same time slot, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we recap the week and we talk about what actually got done. What did Senate really finally do? How about what did the House of Representatives, what did they end up debating? You know, I do the show twice weekly. I do Congress College. So you can answer this really, really simple question. Were you represented well in Washington, D.C. for the week? Because think about it. Those guys and gals in the Senate, those guys and gals in the House of Representatives, they're representing you. They're representing me. They're speaking for us. So don't you think we should just at least have a general idea what they're up to? Well, that's my view, and that's one of the reasons I do this show. Another reason is to familiarize folks with the free website, gradegov.com. And of course, if you guessed it, gradegov lets you grade a member of Congress. How about your member of Congress? How about your senator? How about your house member? What would you give him or her? Would you give them a B? Maybe you give them a D or an F. As I said, the site is free. And when we're talking about grades, we're talking about the A, B, C, D, or F, just like the grades we got in school. So figure out who you want to grade and figure out what grade you want to give them. And then the site is going to prompt you to auto-generate actually a letter all the way up to, Dear Senator Rubio, give you a B today and you have to finish why? Because whatever. Check your spelling, be respectful. And once you click send, you've just written a member of Congress and you graded them. And what that means is your grade automatically averages, like just like school average grades did years ago, automatically averages with all the other people grading them. And therefore, members of Congress can pop over to gradegov.com and they can take a peek at what's going on with their grades. What's going on? What do we think of them? It's a great way to connect with your member of Congress. Gradegov does not use the automated email system that was created by the Senate and the House. Those are just, they're reporting systems. They're automated reporting systems. Gradegov uses personal email accounts in all of the House and Senate offices. So your letter goes somewhere and your grade goes somewhere. And of course, you can see them both on gradegov.com. So I urge you, if you don't mind, tell your friends, tell your family, heck, tell your foes about gradegov.com. I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right, let's go ahead here. Let's talk about the Senate and what they're up to. They are trying to tee up the continuing resolution. What that means is they're trying to tee up the bill that will fund the federal government at least through the middle of November. And then when they came in today, Senator McConnell said this about the New York bombings, quote, "No matter the motive behind these incidents, here we must do everything we can to bolster security measures and to counter the threats facing our homeland." And then shortly thereafter, you're not going to believe this, Senator Harry Reid The retiring senator from Nevada said this: "We can argue from now on about whether this bill," and he means the Democratic gun bill, "would have prevented this weekend's attacks." He goes on to say, "But one thing is for sure, it would prevent the next attack." And of course, this is the bill that Democrats have authored that would ban people on the federal terrorist watch list from purchasing guns or explosives. What about pressure cookers? You can go in the dollar store. What about, you can buy them anywhere. You can buy them in any store. Pressure cooker is a kitchen appliance. And of course, what happened in New York was what was used for the bombings were pressure cookers that injured 29 people. Praise God, nobody was killed. The Senate and the House Republicans have their own legislation. It would place a 3-day waiting period on those on the terrorist watch list that tried to buy guns. But the Democrats have blocked the Republican bill in the Senate. So it's a typical stalemate. Let's go over to the House of Representatives. You know what, folks? I just realized I only teed up this show for 15 minutes, not a 30-minute show. Man, oh man, what was I thinking? Well, let me try to get through some of this as fast as I can. The House of Representatives did not do the continuing resolution this week. That's why the Senate is teeing it up and starting it. But they'll be working on it behind the scenes, I can tell you that. They have also been working on the impeachment of IRS Commissioner John Koskinen that will end up in the House Judiciary Committee. And they're going to have a hearing this Wednesday and ask him to come and testify. This is a big deal. This was a kind of a win for the House Republicans because it's holding the Obama administration accountable. At least they'll make him come and testify. All right, let's go back to the New York bombings. Gosh, I'm really sorry. I didn't reserve enough time here. What the heck? Donald Trump says that the Obama administration is soft on terrorism. And he blames Hillary a little bit. I'm going to play this. This is a little more than 2 minutes. Here we go.
So Donald Trump delivering a fiery response to this weekend's attacks, slamming Hillary Clinton and others for not calling it terrorism. And the Republican nominee says that things he believes have to change.
It's a mess, and it's a shame, and we're going to have to be very tough. I think maybe we're going to be seeing a big change over the last couple of days. I think this is something that maybe we'll get, you know, will happen perhaps more and more all over the country.
Peter Ducey live outside Trump Tower in Manhattan. So, Peter, Trump is blaming a specific Obama administration policy for what happened over the course of this weekend. Tell us what he means by that.
Martha, he means that he thinks the White House is just too welcoming of refugees from countries that we know have a lot of terrorists in them. And you heard Trump right there. He says there will be more attacks like the ones from this weekend if the White House continues to be so welcoming of people that can be so hard to vet.
He let in over 100,000 additional people, and now Hillary Clinton is raising it by 550%. And this has been going on for a long time. Thousands of people are pouring into our country. We have no idea what we're doing. Our leaders are, I don't even say weak, I say stupid.
Well, this gets into more of sort of Donald Trump as he does. I want to get the history of the refugee resettlement program, which is how the president is allowing all these people into our country. It was created in the Jimmy Carter days. It was created to provide permanent admission to the United States for refugees that are under special humanitarian concerns. In the bill signed by President Carter in March of 1980, the annual admission is set at 50,000. In an emergency situation, the president can change that number. He has to do it in a period of year after year, in other words, 12-month periods. The attorney general also has the power to admit additional refugees dealing with asylums and really bad situations. That has to be reported to Congress, and the AG, the Attorney General, is limited to 5,000 people. Okay, remember that. 50,000 a year. The AG can add 5 to that. George Bush increased the number in 1989 to 84,000 for 1 year. This is George H.W. Bush. Right after 9/11, George W. Bush temporarily halted the program for 7 months so he could review it. And once he started it back up again, he added additional security measures. The Obama administration has taken this bill, this old law that's still on the books from 1980, and totally bastardized it, totally cannibalized it, so that beginning October 1, our Secretary of State, John Kerry, says that the U.S. will accept 85,000 refugees in 2016, 10,000 coming from Syria. Listen to this. Since the Paris terrorist attacks, 30 governors said they opposed the Obama administration's policies as it came to the refugee resettlement and allowing Syrians into the United States. 30 governors. This is how many the president has allowed in since 2015. Almost 500,000. 437,829 new refugees from that program. See what I mean by he takes the laws that are on the books and completely bastardizes them. There is a move in Congress. Brian Babin, a Republican from Texas, has 37 colleagues saying he wants to put in the continuing resolution, the one that the Senate's trying to tee up, the one that the House will end up doing later in the week, the same bill. They want in there a pause, a moratorium on the refugees coming from terrorist hotbeds, Syria, the Middle East, North America. And they want it in the continuing resolution. I am eager to watch that for you guys, folks, and hopefully it ends up in that bill. All right, let's go to 270. Remember, that's the number of electoral votes that the candidate needs in November. Clinton's lead has almost disappeared. It is disappeared. It's gone. I teed up Friday's show by saying Hillary Clinton's lead has disappeared like her emails disappeared. Part of it came from her basket of deplorable statements. That statement was bad. And then her health issue, not being transparent, it adds to her being secretive. It adds to her being untruthful. It adds to the Trump narrative. Trump, he who defines first, defines last. Those of you that listen to Congress College always often hear me say that all the time. He who defines first defines last. In other words, they get to make the definition. And he has deemed her crooked Hillary. And when she's secretive about her health, it just adds to that. And then we hear all of the emails, all of the email problems, the Clinton Foundation problems. It literally just adds to that. Well, they're panicking in Florida, folks. Hillary is adding 57 new field offices in Florida. This is as of the end of August. Trump has 27. Let me say this. The Clinton voters, people that think they're going to vote for Clinton, don't feel enthusiastic about her candidacy. And in a Fox News survey, 51% of likely voters say Donald Trump would do a better job handling the economy and handling our security than 44% say Clinton would do the same. That's huge, folks. That is huge. And I am so sorry. I'm going to have to leave you. I had about a 10-minute diatribe on the last primaries that were in the country, New York, Rhode Island. And you know what? Incumbents lost, and they lost big. I'll talk about that maybe on Friday. Folks, I am so sorry. Hope you have a blessed week. You know what? I teed up Shangri-La's leader of the pack in honor of Donald Trump. So enjoy the song. Enjoy the oldie but goodie. Have a blessed rest of your week. And I will talk to you hopefully on Friday. Thanks for listening.
Is
bye.
Is she really going out with him? Well, there she is. Let's ask her. Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, it must be great riding with him. Is he picking you up after school today?